crackers to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, SIPs. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 53. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on these days. I'm so stressed out with everything that's going on right now, but I am Stank Dog, and I am joined today by Not Theory.
Someone who hasn't been here in a long time. How many episodes has it been since I've been on?
I don't even know, man. I really, gosh, it's just, they're flying by now, and it's just, real life has so many things that pull us apart, and it's rough just to get each weekly show done.
But you got past the one-year mark, bring
yes.
a tear to my eye.
Yeah, it's, we are actually, I guess technically this is episode one of season two. Second season. It's like a box set. We'll release a box set at some point of Binary Revolution Radio.
With video outtakes, that's what you need.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we got the Hack TV thing going, so we'll see how that merges in. The original air date for this first episode of the second season is July 6, 2004, 0706, so, wish we could have started, like, on a January to make it easier, but whatever. So, anyway, 52 episodes in the book, 53 we are starting now, and the last couple of episodes that we did were, for lack of a better term, clip shows. Episode 50 was the second telephonic craptacular, and then episode 52 we did kind of a special with some old outtakes and had a little bit of clips in there, some new stuff. Actually, I think almost all of it was new. I added the Deadly Halon story. Other than that, it was all new stuff, so it's not really, well, it was all new to the listeners anyway.
Yeah.
New, all the outtakes that they never heard before. So, believe it or not, those are actually tougher to do than the regular episode. It takes so much time sitting and editing and listening to all those old clips and cutting and pasting them. And, ugh, what a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. So, actually, I'm glad to be back doing a live or pseudo-live show, as we always say. So, let's catch up on emails because of those clip shows, we got way behind on email, so we covered some in episode 51. I'm going to finish up, get us caught up today on some of the other emails we've gotten. Before I do, though, I have kind of an email issue that I wanted to bring up to the listeners. I hear from people every once in a while that they sent me an email, and I know for a fact I never got it. You know, I check my email, and if you're using the right addresses, you know, I've never seen it. And I was actually talking to 813 error. I was expecting something from him and I never got it, so I kind of moved on ahead. And I spoke to him online and he said he did send it, and you know, we wondered what happened to it. So he was pretty certain that he sent it. So I had to go digging because just I'm like that. I'm obsessive. I want to know exactly what's going on or where it could have gone. So went poking around, and basically, long story short, I found that there's another account, there's a system-level account for the email server that is kind of a default for all error messages, all bounces, all system errors and stuff like that, and catches all bad email addresses that if you send something to. So if you send something to stankdogdog instead of dawg or something like that, that address doesn't exist, dog. So instead of just deleting it and discarding it, you know, it knows that it could have been important, so it throws it into the kind of this catch-all account. And I've never, ever checked it. I've never really had the need to check it. So I was looking for this from him and basically found that there's quite a bit of email that's backed up into here. And I did find several pieces of emails, you know, some of them as far as a year old, that were sent to me with a misspelling or to other email addresses that people thought existed or just a simple misspelling, even some that were going to, you know, to Not Theory here that were just spelled wrong. So all of those got bounced to this account. So basically, I even had invoices from my hosting company. Little spreadsheet saying 3 months charge, please pay this. So it could have been really, really dangerous. Luckily, I talked to them on the phone quite a bit anyway, so I always knew when it was, you know, due and paid it, no problem. But it could have been devastating. But anyway, point being, when you do send emails, they do get bounced to the system account if there's a spelling error. So if you're sending anything personal or private or anything like that, I am going to see it through the system account. If you send it to the wrong person, that is. If you send it to the proper person, everything's fine and dandy. But all emails that it gets confused or doesn't know what to do that are mistakes, they get bounced to the system admin account. And this is true of any site. The reason I bring this up is not to tell anybody, you know, that I'm reading any personal stuff, but any site, any email server, if you ever send something and you misspell it, it's very important that you get it to the right account. If you send it to any bad account, say theoretically Gmail, even though they claim not to read any of the email, you send it to a bad account, it is going to go to like their system administrator, their default account, because it doesn't delete email by default. So always keep that in mind when you're sending private email. Very, very important to go back and double and triple check the address. You know what I'm saying? Could
yeah.
be very, very
well, better now, because I got some messages from people saying, oh, they were going to send me this, just send me that, but I guess they just sent it to the wrong address.
Yep. So. Yep, that's probably what happened. So, anyway, I apologize to anybody who has sent me anything and thinks I'm shorting them or slighting them or whatever, not getting back. It's because I probably never got it. So I saw some email addresses going to stankdog or whatever. Frankly, if you can't spell it right, and I don't guess you really deserve a response, but whatever. You don't have to spell it.
Oh,
tagged. But whatever. Hey. So anyway, yeah, I didn't intentionally slight anybody, so I just wanted to throw that out there. I am going to start trying to check this more often, but gosh, it also gets all the system bounce messages and just so much stuff to wade through. I mean, it's just a real hassle to maintain and read regularly, so don't count on me seeing something. Make sure you send it to the right address. So, that being said, let's go through to the people who did spell things correctly and get them through to me. Our first email was from one gentleman by the name of Dual Parallel. Says, Stank 52 was hilarious. That was the most fun I've had listening to internet radio in a long time. Regarding converting MP3s in Linux, I just found that Lane can be used to convert any parameter desired right from the command line, which is kind of something we were looking at. For example, I want to convert a 24 kbps 2205 kHz stereo MP3 to a 1616 mono MP3. Should I read this command? Is it going to translate well on the radio?
Probably not, but I say give it a shot anyway.
All right, lame, dash, dash, resample. Okay, here's another thing. Some people hate dash. They always say minus. I don't know what that is. Somebody's got a pet peeve. I always say dash. Lame, dash, dash, resample, space, 16, space, dash, B, space, 16, space, dash, M, space, and then the input, the name of the input MP3, followed by a space and the name of the output MP3. So basically, by telling it to resample, you don't have to tell it what the incoming sample is. I assume it's going to be able to read what the incoming sample is by looking at it. Just give it that bit rate of what the outgoing sample is going to be and a new file name, and there you go. So that's our tip from Mr. Dual Parallel. So thank you for that. Let's see. Now, we got another email here from Random Sample. It says, Hiya, Stank. I've been listening to the radio show for a while. Enjoy the hell out of it at work, in fact. I have not emailed you before because I'm busy, lazy, scatterbrained, etc. Pick the one you like best. Which one do we like best?
Lazy.
Can we make up our own? Because he has etc.
That's true, but I'm a fan of lazy. I enjoy laziness.
You know what? I'm going to go with you on that. I was going to come up with something more profane, but yeah, we'll say lazy. All right, let me go back and reread it now with our correction. I have not emailed you before because I'm lazy. Anyway, I heard you are setting up the second floor pub terminals at the con. He's referring to the Hope Convention. I'm getting in on Thursday morning and should be at the hotel by 11 a.m. I need a place to volunteer. Will you be needing a set of hands? I have people coming in at night, but the day is mine. Actually, my buddy is bringing some people to crash in my room, so I might want to help out Thursday night, too. I'd like to shake your hand anyway for all the quality entertainment I've been getting. Let me know. Okay. Well, you see that little edit I did on the fly, by the way?
We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay. Okay. Let's.
Hey, I'm hanging out in this guy's room.
Yeah. Amen. Word booty on that one. Let me just get one thing out of the way first. I really am looking forward to meet a lot of people up there. So I'm glad. You know, I'm looking forward to meeting any and all of the listeners, a bunch of friends, people we've talked to online, stuff like that. So. It's kind of difficult with everybody's schedules and who's coming in and who's going to be where. Basically, the easiest way to find me, the one central place, if we all want to all get together and at least meet and shake hands and just chit-chat. I'm pretty much a normal guy. It's no big deal. You're going to be highly disappointed, but glad to talk to people and meet people. That's cool. The best and easiest way to do it is to meet me after my presentation Saturday at my presentation is from 5 to 6 o'clock, the AS400 presentation. It's in conference room B or whatever, track B, wherever the hell that's going to be. So that's going to be the best place. After it's over with, we have, let's see, Slip Mode I know is giving a presentation at 9 that I'm definitely going to make sure we're there for. So in between that, we have a couple other things planned, but probably we'll have a good hour or so at least after my presentation to meet, walk around, hang out, that kind of good stuff. So that is definitely the place to do that. So anybody listening, you want to hook up, come meet me after the presentation. That's the way to go. Now, as far as setting up the terminals at the conference, it's actually Cy Pete. He was on the show a couple episodes. He's been on a couple episodes, actually. And I think he's the one that you're referring to. He's setting up a clustering system there. I don't know exactly if they've got enough people or if they've already planned it out. I know there's some hardware involved and they've gone through all the steps of making sure the hardware arrives and they've made plans of when they're going to meet up the people on that group. And I think if you look in the wiki, for Hope5 Wiki, you'll find more information on exactly where that is. I'm not sure if they can use the help or if they've already got their hands full and got everything accounted for, but I mean, I'm sure there are going to be plenty of things that they're going to need help doing. If it's not them, if it's working on some of the other networking stuff. So when you get there, I'm sure if you just go and announce that you have some time and you're willing to help, I'm sure they'll find something for you to do. I have tried to contact Cy Pete. I haven't seen him online since I got this email. But I'll forward this on to him and see if there is something that he needs. So thank you very much for that offer. Okay. Now, we have another email here from, this is a cool one, real name withheld, we don't read real names on the show, but he says, this is very short, "Hi, I'm a listener from Liverpool, England." Very cool, I love getting overseas email. "Just to let you know, Banzai is actually made for a British TV channel, Channel 4, as a spoof Japanese game show. Love your show," and again, real name. Last time you were on the show, this is even older than that, probably.
Really?
We haven't talked about Banzai in a long time. I think that's like back when it was Wintermute and I did those first few episodes together. I think this is an old, so he must be listening to the reruns on Rant Radio or something like that. Because this is a very old topic. Very, very old. So we get a lot of TV shows from England, to be honest with you. And Channel 4 specifically, isn't American Idol, didn't that start over there?
I think it did.
I think that started in, like, the Big Brother show. I don't know if it started over there, but I know it started somewhere else, and we copied it. So it's been a lot of shows that we bite from England's, you know. They come up with some good stuff. I know Ali G. I know the Ali G show's from over there, and I love that. That came here on HBO for a little while, and I don't know. I think it had some controversy and didn't do so well over here, but.
Yeah, I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, dude, Ali G's funny stuff, man.
Really?
That's good stuff. Borat can get a little tiresome sometimes, but Ali G is pretty funny stuff. So anyway, yeah, Banzai came over here. I don't even know if it lasted one full season. I think it did, but then I never saw it again after that, so I guess it didn't do so well over here. I don't know if it's still on over there or if it's also off the air over there, but anyway, thanks for pointing that out. I never really knew where it came from exactly. I thought actually it was a real, because see, those Japanese people, they have Japanese television has a lot of what we call weird and unusual game shows. So that could very well be real, as far as I know, in Japan.
Yeah, I would definitely believe that it is. I've seen some of their TV before, and it is crazy.
It's pretty cool, though.
Oh, yeah, it's cool, but it's definitely way far away from the norm.
Yeah, well, yeah, our norms, yeah.
Our norm, yeah, of course.
So, yeah, he says this is started on British TV as a spoof, though, so that may be true, too. Let's see, what else we have here? Yeah, that was it for that one, and let me see, I lost my place. Okay, here's another one. Real name withheld, another real name email here. Hey, I was wondering if there was a program or service that I could use to host my own website without banners or having to...
Pay.
Oh, okay, having to pay, there's a little typo there. Yeah. Having to pay, or if there was a service that I could use to make my own website, which is... long into another short URL. Okay, please email me with the answer if you can. And this person left, it was a first name, so I never know if it's a real first name or a pseudonym first name, so I'll just leave it out completely. I think this is the same person that probably posted in the forums, though. I suspect, because this email was queued up for a couple weeks as we did those clips. And frankly, go to the forums. Go to forums.binrev.com and use the search function. And you will find there's a couple threads on this exact topic. I know I've heard a couple of them off the top of my head frequently, and that's no-ip.com and dyndns, or dyndns, dyndns.org. But I've never had the need to use any of these before. Not Theory, have you ever used any of these two or others like them?
Yeah, I used dyndns.org for a while. And, yeah, basically there's a client that you install on your machine, and... it basically checks what your public IP address is and just updates the DNS for you automatically. It's really, really simple to use, and I think it works on Windows, Linux, and Mac OS. You should have no problem setting that up. But then you need to know how to run a web server. That's the only problem.
Right, and then, you know, on top of that, you have to worry about or deal with issues, whether your cable modem or whatever's going to let you have incoming connections and a lot of
right.
other factors that come into play, too. So... like I said, I haven't used them a whole lot, but I've heard those, and I don't know if those have ads. They don't have ads on them, do they, or pop-ups or anything?
No, because all it does is it basically just resolves the DNS name and passes the
right.
request directly onto your machine, so there's
right.
no advertisement snuck in there at all.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought. And it's something you put in your client, so if you do get a new address assigned to you, it'll update.
Yeah, it checks every couple of minutes what your IP address is or something like that. You can change the settings, and then it'll update the website when it changes.
And it doesn't take 24 hours or any of that kind of stuff.
No, it's very, very fast.
Instant. Okay.
Their DNS records are set to expire really quickly. So if your IP address changes, you know, within like half an hour, I'd say it'll be working again at least.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that's you know, and I was thinking to myself, hasn't there been like 50, 60, 65 articles in 2600 last year about this exact topic?
I'd say there's probably been about 50 articles in 2600 last. Issue.
Yeah, I mean,
topic.
It seems like this is
but the other topic about turning a long URL into a short URL, tinyurl.com.
I know you love that site.
Yeah, it just makes your life easy. The only problem is sometimes they mix uppercase and lowercase, and then it gets a pain to spell out, but
yeah.
whatever. It's much better than some, you know, 100-character long URL.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Or, you know, but, well, never mind. What about just typing in the IP address?
Yeah, but sometimes there's like a path and all kinds of other junk. And
yeah, I guess that's right. And when that changes, of course, that becomes defeats the point of having the DNS. Yeah, that didn't
yeah.
make sense. All right, erase that. Pretend I didn't say that. All right, anyway, got one more email here. Actually, this is the last one. This is from Mantis88, whose caps lock key was apparently stuck. But he writes, quote, listening to the episode 52 outtakes, and upon hearing the country song as performed by Bland, I instantly remembered that from the Animaniacs album of the early 90s era. That show is in the Animation Golden Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned. Wacko and his love of Don Knotts' album is truly inspiring. That it is. But aside from that, let me say I have much respect and appreciation for the dedication and love you put into the show. I look forward every week when that BinRev link becomes active and I can download another informative and entertaining show. I first heard of BenRev back in September 03. Boy, it's been a while. And since have listened to every episode of BenRev Radio, as well as RFA, sometimes listening to as many as 6 eps in one day. But I don't think I could listen to 6 episodes of myself in one day. But I know it was not time wasted because I am more educated and enlightened for the time spent. I know every second of the shows isn't packed with facts or statistics, but nonetheless, they are still enjoyable to listen to. In the time since finding the shows and exploring the digital world, a friend and I have started an unofficial 2600 meeting and are talking about making our own radio show. Life is busy, though, and with 3 kids under 4 between the two of us, progress is slow. But we still have ideas and endeavors that are actively exploring and researching to further not only ourselves, but our little area of the world. Believe me, your attention to detail in producing the shows is well noted. And he put that in quotation marks. That's a little jab against my show notes, my infamous show novels.
Yeah.
And it shows as each show continues to improve in quality. And yeah, this show's no exception, is it? As the level of professionalism increases, our community's message will travel further because more and more people will take us seriously. When we discuss some of the contentious issues, they will take notice of the world around them and not let their rights be restricted and taken away by senators who do not comprehend or by passing laws that are too heavy-handed and the punishments they mete out. And in parentheses, and boy, I'm trying not to get mad when I even read this, 3 years in prison next to rapists and murderers for taping a movie. What a travesty. And frankly, I agree with that.
So true, yep.
Yeah, that's just... Oh, I'm trying not to go into a tangent, but you know what? Screw it, I'm going to do it because I have to. It really is that bad. You know, copying a movie? Okay, let's not even go into right or wrong. Okay, let's just, for the sake of this argument, let's say that it is wrong. Let's say, fine, technically it may be illegal. Is that really worthy to be? I mean, we're letting drug dealers out on 3 strike rules. We're giving them a slap on the wrist and putting them out on the street, for God's sake. Is that really justice? Is that really where our emphasis should be? On somebody who copied a movie? Or some hacker who might have gone to a website he shouldn't have? Or somebody who called a phone system that he didn't accidentally know what the hell he was doing or was just being curious? That's ridiculous to dole out punishments on par with drug dealers and rapists and murderers. And I mean, it's...
Yeah, none of those things should be a felony.
It's night and day to me. It really is. It's just... You know, again, I'm not going to go into the soapbox because every hacker in the world's spoken these words and heard them enough on shows like this and speeches and presentations, but there's a huge gap in what punishment should be and what they are. And they're born out of fear. They're born because they don't know what else to do about hackers and whatever they think we do and whatever we... The punishment has got to fit the crime and... Because of their fear and ignorance of the crime, they cannot dole out a fair punishment. Anyway. Anyway, back to this email. Thank you for pulling me off into that. Who was it? Mantis88. Thank you. Again, thank you and all your guests from your contributions and inspirations to the world as we know it. We are becoming more and more global community in which the digital revolution is upon us and we are all fighting for digital freedoms in this third millennium. Thank you again. Okay. Boy, there's a lot to reply to in this, and I've already started on one of them. First of all, the easy thing is, yeah, a couple people recognized that the song that Bland was singing on that outtake was Nations of the World from Animaniacs, and yeah, bar none, just one of the greatest cartoons ever, just pure solid gold. Absolutely fantastic. A couple people caught that. I think actually Code Monkey, I think I saw him mention it in IRC too, so shouts to him and a couple other people. And he mentioned about trying to start a 2600 meeting, maybe his own radio show. Believe me, I know I personally can, in theory, I know not theory, we just got done saying at the top of the show how you haven't been on because you've been working your butt to the grindstone, whatever however that saying goes, you've been working your butt off.
No doubt, definitely. I'm working weekends and holidays and everything all night, and you know, I just don't have time for anything anymore.
Yeah, and you know, and everything's like that. Everybody, most DDP members, I mean, I don't have 3 kids, I can't say that, or 4, how many, he said 4 kids under the age
4
of 3?
4 kids between the two of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's, I don't have all those kids, but most of us in DDP, we're adults, we work full-time, go to college, do other things on the side, we're trying to, you know, live a life in addition to all this kind of stuff too. But we find time. But I can't talk. I can't find time to take speech lessons, apparently. But we find time to get things done. And now, they're not as quickly as we would like them to be, but eventually they do get done. So I'm certain if this, you know, if you're really serious about putting together a 2600 meeting or starting your own radio show, you know what? Don't put yourself into a situation of, I have to make it every week. I have to make it, you know, so many hours. You know what? Do it whenever you can. Do it when you get time. You know, work around your real-life schedule, just like we do. Again, I wish we could get stuff done faster. I wish I could get a Hack TV episode out every week, just like we do this, but it's just not feasible. It's more difficult, and again, the timing aspect of things. So it can be done. You just have to work around your real-life schedule. That's the most important part, and, you know, budget your time. Allocate your time well.
Yeah, and I'd say if you really have time constraints, like really hard time constraints, avoid doing a radio show at first, because you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to feel pressured to do it every single week and then just release anything. I think you'd probably be better off at first just, you know, writing some articles and stuff like that, something that you can take all the time in the world to do and get something really good out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, or, you know, think ahead of something you want to film for Hack TV or video or something like that. That way you can think about it, and then one weekend when you have time, go out and get it done.
Yep.
And then once you've filmed it, you want to edit it or you want to do whatever with it, you can do that, you know, a month, 2 months down the road whenever you get time again. So, you know, pick projects that are more suited towards your time frame, your schedule. Now, what else here? Oh, and actually I do appreciate this comment. He mentioned the professionalism of the show, and I really appreciate him saying that because my language is not the greatest in the world. I admit that. I drop some F-bombs every once in a while. And I know that kind of hurts the show as far as what I really want to do with the show and where I want to go with it. I know that, you know, we don't have to deal with the FCC or anything like that. That's one of the great things about being on the Internet. You know, being on an Internet radio show is you can have true freedom of speech. However, at the same time, sometimes... I don't know how to say this. Sometimes vulgarity helps get a point across. And maybe not even vulgarity, maybe not even the word, not even bad words or something. It's just the anger level and yelling into the microphone, which I do sometimes when I get angry at something. So I'm getting better at containing that, or trying to anyway, but I still want to get the point across. So I got to maintain this happy medium. It's kind of a catch-22. I want to stay in control, but I want to get a point across. So all I can do is do the best I can to keep it to a minimum and try to balance those two things. I know, in theory, you over there on Default Radio, I get a lot of crap from these guys for they claim that I don't speak the truth, or I don't use free speech, and I control my language too much, and I don't get across my point because I'm trying to tiptoe around bad words and things like that. I know Lucky gives me a lot of crap about that anyway.
Yeah, Default Radio is definitely a completely different spirit of radio. They just don't care about anything.
And you know what? That's great, too. That's why I love listening to Default Radio. At defaultradio.com, there's the plug, man. That's a great show, too. But, you know, you need different types of shows out there. So I think they very much balance each other. So, yeah, I try to control my language as much as I can, but I still let some slip. And frankly, I'm going to continue. I tried to go for a while where I said, no more. I'm not going to use any more foul language whatsoever. But you know what? I just don't think I can get my point across sometimes. Rax used to always tell me a lot that using bad words and cussing is just a kind of a crutch. You can still get your point across by replacing every bad word with some other word. Well, in theory, that sounds nice, but not really... You know what? Sometimes you really got to drop the F-bomb if you want to get people's attention.
Yeah, people don't know how angry you are until you start, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Going like that.
You know, I can scream fudge all I want to, but you know what? Nobody's going to take that seriously either.
Right.
So, yeah, there is kind of a mix in there. So, but again, my whole thing with this show also, see, that's the other thing about Default Radio that's great about it too, is they're for the community. They're all about a hacking show, a technology show, sometimes an ageofconsent.com show, and they're gearing it and they're aiming it towards hackers. And I'm really trying to go beyond, I do aim for hackers as well. I try to keep a technical show that appeals to hackers, but I want to draw more people into the hacking community. I want to educate people and make people outside of our community come into our community and join and spread and grow the community. And it's very hard to do that if I'm cussing every other word and talking about, you know, topics that aren't about hacking or that mislead people and things like that. So professionalism is something that I do keep in mind. I keep a nice format. I try to keep things flowing, and I'm probably spending too much time on this topic, so I'll keep it flowing again. But I want to educate people and bring people into the community. So I'm hoping I'm hitting those fringe people and those people that are programmers sitting in an office all day. Like, you know, a couple of people, I get emails all the time. I listen to your show at work. That's the people I want to reach, and I want them to come in and join the hacking community and produce and write articles and write programs and learn. You know, that's what hacking is really all about. So those are the people I'm trying to reach, and you can't listen to the show at work if, you know, you're dropping bad words all the time and talking about, you know, all kinds of other things. So kind of got to know your audience, I guess.
Well put.
Oh, man. So, yeah, thank you very much for the support. Like we said earlier, this is the first episode of year two, so we're going to try to be more professional, or at least as professional as we have been in the past, so we're going to keep going. So thank you very much for pointing that out. I sincerely appreciate that. So we're going to jump into the show-and-tell part of the show. And you know what? I've been talking for quite a while here. Why don't you want to talk about bellsmind.net? Because I know that's actually, I really wanted to get into some in-depth talk about exactly what you used to write it and some of the problems that we went through of me trying to get you the stuff you needed for the to up and running and stuff like
that.
We tried
to talk about it the other night on default, but Sergeant Switchhook and Duel and all those other guys, they just got off track, which is all right. I got off track too. Yeah. But yeah, just a quick review for anybody who doesn't know. NPA.php was the script that I had written that does the lookup through area codes and prefixes. It tells you which company owns what prefix and all this other kind of stuff. It was up on my machine for a while on entanglement.net, and then it went down because I moved and just got sick and tired of maintaining it. So Bell's Mind is basically the resurrection of that. Like, now you can look up area codes, you can look up exchanges, you can look up silly codes and switches and all this other kind of stuff through a similar interface. And basically, I want to make the website a place where, you know, freaks can go and they can look up the information they need, and they can submit numbers that they found, like elevator phone numbers or any type of weird telco stuff that they find. They can submit that, and other people can look it up. So I want it to be like a freak repository. You know, that's where the name came from. Rax actually came up with the name of bellsmind.net. It's basically the mind of the phone system on a website where you can go and look it up. So
now, is the capability to upload and submit stuff, you haven't implemented that yet?
No, actually, it's implemented, and if you know where to look, you could get to it right now, but nobody knows where to look for it. I want to clean it up before anybody else uses it, you know, debug it, make sure that there's nothing weird going on there, and then let people play with it, because I don't want people to start signing on and then have problems with it then.
All right, no, absolutely.
Work all that out first.
Absolutely.
But yeah, the code's pretty much there. The code's been sitting around for a long time. We went through some hosting problems, and then I went through, you know, having to work all the time and not being able to fix stuff, but now it seems worked out. It's all PHP. It's got some XML stuff, which basically this PHP script generates XML, gets the information out of the database, generates XML for it, and then I can send that XML either to another PHP script, which generates a web page, or I can send it to the Bell's Mind bot, which will then, you know, when you message that, it'll go and look up this data, get it in XML, and then parse it out, and then spit back in a human-readable format the information that it got. So,
yeah, I've been working on, you know, looking into some XML stuff lately myself, and it's very, very handy.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
So useful.
You can just basically get information, put it in a format, and then have an XML parser, you know, read that, pick out exactly what it needs, and just ignore the rest of the junk, which is what made it so easy for me to implement this bot, you know, this AIM bot now. You know, all I have to do is just hit the web page, get the XML, parse it out, and send you back the results. And it's gonna turn into a much bigger site. I have a lot of good things planned for it. A couple things I want to get out of the way before Hope. You know, I want to kind of have like the majority of stuff up and running by Hope. So it's gonna be a very busy week for me. A bunch of PHP and Perl script writing. And
yeah, now it's all PHP based, like you said. Now you can't look at the PHP code, but I did go through and looked at your PHP function calls anyway. I saw the parameters that you're passing to the PHP scripts.
Yeah.
I saw the way that works, but yeah, the PHP code itself. I actually was going to, I guess we'll have to take that offline, but I was working on a different project myself I was going to touch base with you about and bounce some ideas off of you as well.
Yeah, actually, I'm planning on releasing the source. It's just that, you know, it's been, like I said, it's been a long time since I even looked at the code. I haven't had a chance to really go through it. I just got it in a workable form and just threw it up on the website.
Oh, yeah.
Once I'm happy with the code, once it's commented enough, I think Jedi Bebop or somebody asked if I was going to release the code. And yes, I definitely will release all the code, you know, the PHP scripts, the Perl scripts that I have to send out emails and other stuff. The Perl script for the aimbot is going to be released. The SQL for the database, like the entire Bellsmind.net database, is going to be available to anybody. You know, you can just go and download it. It's a Postgres database, but you could probably easily put it into MySQL and have it up and running on your own machine in no time. So, yeah, in the spirit of open source, everything is going to be released. It's just going to take me some time. I don't want to release it half-assed. That's basically how it works.
Absolutely, absolutely. And since you mentioned that it's in Postgres, we had some problems. That's one of the reasons it took so long to get this up also was getting Postgres, installed and recompiling Apache with support and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, that gets tricky and annoying and whatever. But finally, you know, I set up my own colo box instead of harassing you all the time to, you know, saying, oh, I need this stupid feature, or I need this thing, I forgot to tell you I need this, you know. I just set it up in my own box and did all the, using Debian, I used all the package selection, selected all the stuff I need, which is basically PHP, the PHP Postgres module, the PHP XML module, and I think that's the bulk of it. There was some other, like, I need the Perl modules for the aimbot and stuff like that, but I got it all set up now, and it's working pretty nicely. So, basically, mm-hmm. I encourage people to go to bellsmind.net, check out the lookup stuff. Definitely, when you go to the lookup, don't bookmark the lookup page. Always go to the bellsmind.net page first, because eventually what's going to happen is, instead of it taking you directly to that lookup, it's going to take you to, like, to the finished site. There's going to be an actual real site. You know, there's going to be articles on it. There's going to be real information. And then there's going to be a link to the lookup stuff. So if you just always go to the lookup, eventually you're going to miss all the other cool features that are added.
Yeah, well, you'll have a nice index of some sort up, and then links to all the different tools and things like that.
Yeah. And if,
definitely,
by all means, if anybody wants to donate some time and make some Bellsmind graphics or something like that, definitely email them to me. Just bounce them off me and let me know what you guys got, because I definitely am not a web designer, as you can tell from every page I've ever put together. They're all terrible. So
I feel you on that.
With some design flair that can make it look really nice.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I'm right there with you on that one.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well.
Oh, and there's the Bellsmind PBX also is the PBX that I had set up for a while. Phone number is 810-223-0003. Or 914-595-0135. Those two numbers will bring it to the Bellsmind PBX. It's got some nice voice prompts recorded from a friend of mine. And basically it's got RFA recordings, BinRev archive, the ANAC, which reads back your phone number, touchtone decoder, and some Evan Doorbell recordings, and you know, there's a lot more stuff to come. And there's some hidden stuff on there, and if you're inclined to find it, by all means, please do.
Yeah, and actually, that's another thing that unfortunately has fallen off the wayside for me, is I know you set up a nice voice mailbox system and stuff like that we were going to use for the show, and I know we kind of could give that stuff out right now, but I just haven't had time to go in there and set it up and configure it and all that kind of stuff, so hopefully by the next show or two, we'll have that up and running so where people can start leaving voicemails and things for us.
Yeah, definitely. There's big things planned for the voicemail system, yeah, and yeah. Anybody who helps me out with the website... Definitely, if you want a free voicemail box or five free voicemail boxes or whatever, if you help me out with the website, give me some graphics, anything you want on that thing, it's all yours.
Unless your name ends in 225.
What's that?
Unless your name ends in 225.
Yeah, in which case I can't help you out at all.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry about that one. Oh, man. Yeah, the setting up the website, the web hosting problems we had, I had the same problems myself, and end up having to install things locally in my home, and it just ended up being a nightmare. So I'm glad you got it all working. I know that was kind of one of the roadblocks you had. So
yeah, for the work I'm doing now, I have a colo box that I have complete control over, so I figured I might as well. You know,
yeah.
The machine's idle pretty much all the time, so.
Yeah, isn't that a great thing to have?
Oh yeah, it's just awesome. It runs, you know, it runs the website no problem, and it's actually running the PBX and the whole bit too. So
It's a great feeling.
Yeah, it's really.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I probably already know this answer. I assume you probably didn't make it to your 2600 meeting.
No,
weren't you guys?
I almost never make it to my 2600 meeting.
But I thought they were trying to start one there.
Yeah, they're trying to start one in Connecticut, and I talk to Code Monkey about it every once in a while, and I really want to go. It's just that it is so damn inconvenient that these meetings are at like 5 and 6 o'clock, and for me to drive, you know, 30-something miles through like the worst traffic out of Manhattan ever at rush hour, it's just really not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think if I remember right, I could be incorrect, but I thought they canceled this one anyway because of the close proximity with Hope being a week away, that they said they weren't going to bother anyway. So I don't think
did they really?
Yeah, I don't even think you missed one.
Good thing I didn't try to go, because I was really amped about going this time. Really, I didn't have much going on Friday, so I was like, oh, maybe I'll go to the New York City one, or maybe I'll go to the Connecticut one, but if they canceled it, that would really piss me off.
Yeah, but you know, we have people that show up at like 7:30 to the meeting. We know, I mean, people work late and, you know, come in whenever they can. So if you don't get there right at 5 or 6, I don't think that's such a big deal. But
yeah, it's just that with the smaller meeting in Connecticut, I didn't know how long it would end up going. So
yeah, that's true too. I guess they know ahead of time they'll stick around for you or something. But
yeah.
Anyway, that can be worked out in the future.
Well, I could probably show up like any time, and there'd be people there till probably like 9 o'clock or whatever. But.
Yeah,
I don't want the hassle of going into the city just for like an hour.
Yeah, let's get through Hope first. let's just get through Hope right now. Like our meeting was a little bit lighter this time too, because Hope kind of threw it off. Some people didn't even know if there was going to be. Actually, we thought Hope was scheduled in the first Friday of this month, so we didn't even realize there would be a meeting until the last minute. So I think some other people might have felt the same way. So it was a little bit light, but we still had a best. I don't know, we probably still had 10, 12 people, which is pretty good. And we all went to bed. We all got together afterwards and went to see Spider-Man 2, which you guys knew about. You were talking about that on Default last week. We did go see Spider-Man 2, and after that we we did the 2-for special, if you know what I mean, and went to see Dodgeball after that was over with. Hey, you get a 2-for and a student discount? Dude, you can't beat that.
That's true.
That's a fair price. That's a fair price to me. Dodgeball was funny, by the way. And Spider-Man was pretty alright. I liked the first one better. Don't send me hate mail, but I liked Spider-Man 1 better, but whatever. But Dodgeball was hilarious. Not an award-winning movie, but boy, did it make you laugh. So I did that last week. And, of course, doing the clip shows, like I said, I don't know who it was. Somebody made a joke, I think, in IRC, or made a comment about how I got away with doing 2 clip shows here recently. Man, clip shows are harder to do than real shows, I'm telling you. I have to listen to all these old clips and cut out parts and edit them and stuff on the fly and put them all together and try to fill up an hour with a bunch of 30-second and 1-minute clips, you know? That's rough,
man. I agree.
Man.
Any type of editing like that is tedious. Hey, if somebody thinks it's really easy to make a clip show, feel free to go ahead and make one for us. So
right?
Never have to do it again.
No? Clip shows are not easy, man. They really aren't. So they were hard. I'd rather do this show anytime, like I said. I'm stressed, man. I'm pulling my hair out. Well, I got a haircut, so I don't have much hair left to pull out. But I'm really stressed now. I've got so much stuff going on. Again, Hope is coming up. I've spent the last 2 or 3 nights making some very big changes to my Hope presentation. Changed a lot of screenshots to some videos and demonstrations in lieu of having a machine there, of course, an AS400. So I got some video clips in there. Hopefully that'll be a little bit more interactive. It'll be a little bit, you know, more engaging, hopefully, for people. It won't be as boring. So I think it's some good changes to the presentation. So spent a lot of my time doing that because I do want that to go well. I want to put the same professionalism into that I do into the show, into the magazine, and frankly, everything else we try to do. Organizing a Yankees game. We're all getting together to go check out the Yankees while we're up there. Everybody is kicking and screaming, but damn it, I'm dragging you kicking and screaming. Actually, I might have bad news for you, by the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm going to spring this on you right here on the air, too. The tickets that we got, I did not do this on purpose, so don't yell at me. But as it turns out, they're in the family no alcohol section.
Shut the hell up.
I swear to God, I did not purposely do that. I didn't even realize it until they sent me the confirmation email.
Oh, my God.
I know, I just took away your only reason for going. I think that just means that the vendors don't come by selling it. I think you can still go and bring it down. I think, anyway.
I may just not do this. after this fucking information. What the
come
hell?
Come on, man.
Terrible.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize it until after it was all over with, and then, doggone it. I'm like, oh, man, I don't even want to break this to him. Because I know that's one of the reasons you're looking forward to Gord. You couldn't care less about baseball.
Oh, my God. I couldn't care anything about baseball, ever.
We said that I invited Rax to go, too, and Rax says, hell no, I don't go to the damn baseball game. So, anyway, you're going to have fun anyway, damn it. I think everything will be fine. I think that just means they don't have the vendors walking up and down screaming beer and selling beer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
At least that's what it means down here at the Florida Marlins at Miami. So, I assume it's the same there. So, anyway, organizing that, buying tickets, getting all that together, and the rest of my New York City plans. I got to do some of the touristy things, and Epiphany's been working with me on some stuff like that, too, so shouts to him. And trying to put together a CD of the radio show. I want to put a nice CD that automatically starts, brings up an HTML page with all the show notes and all the episodes on a CD, standalone. So we've been putting that off and trying to think that through and everything, and luckily DJ Sub-Zero came through last night and helped me out big time, and worked on that and basically did that for me. I tweaked it a little bit, but I got that ready to go, so now I got to spend the next couple of days burning hundreds of copies of those to hand out at Hope.
Awesome.
Oh, and filming some Hack TV segments. I did get a Hack TV segment filmed a couple weeks ago, so that's cool. And, oh, I guess I probably didn't mention that I quit my job. Yeah, that was kind of a big event in case that slipped. So those people
And you're starting what, tomorrow?
And I'm starting my new one tomorrow, and we're recording this. It'll be freaking long after midnight, and I got to be up in a few hours to start my new job. I'm just a winner.
You're only working for 2 days, and then you're going straight to home.
I know. I'm just grabbing life by the cojones, you know? I told them up front when they hired me that I had already made plans and had hotel reserved and planes, so they're very cool with it. So it's not a problem, but yeah, it seems kind of tacky to me, you know? So, but hey, whatever. I told them up front, I'm like, listen, I don't want it to be rude or anything that I'm going to work for 2 days and then leave for a week. But hey, what are you going to do? So, man, that's, you know, in between that, I get a couple hours of sleep here and there, and that's been this past month to me has just been rough, because quitting your job is no easy task, especially when they depend on you as much as they have for me, and I have to type up documentation for every last little thing, and your documentation has to cater to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel me on that one, right? I mean, you have to write it so that a fucking trained monkey could follow it. Oh, I dropped an F-bomb right there. Doggone it. Oh, well.
Yeah, no, I already dropped the F-bomb when you told me about the beer situation.
Oh, okay. Well, as long as we have a good reason. Oh, man.
I know what you're talking about. When I left my job, I had to write documentation, too. I didn't have to write it for idiots, though. I mean, these guys really, the guys at my old job really know what they're doing. So I could get away with writing something complicated. But still, writing documentation for something you've been working on when you thought you didn't have to is just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I have to write to the... There's a couple people that know what they're doing, but for the most part, they don't. And that's really one of the reasons I've left. Although, the ultimate kick right in the crotch is that they already hired somebody to replace me at 20 grand more than I made.
Wow.
How rude is that? How just incredibly rude. If they would have paid me that, I wouldn't have left, but whatever. I won't even go there. Let's move on to it. Let's see. What's our timing situation here? I think we're all right. We got time to cover this. Yeah, we're all right. Oh, man. Well, okay, wait a minute. Is there anything else we left out? Is that the show and tell? Is that everything? Because we've been working on so much, man. And plus, we already mentioned it, but you're on Default Radio this past week.
Yep.
The PBX, as we mentioned.
Yeah, hopefully next week, actually, I'll be doing Default Radio from Hope. I'll be calling. Probably the way it'll work out is that I'll be calling in to whatever conference Doug and Lucky are recording on. and doing the show from there. So
good call. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, radio, hunt me down, and maybe I'll pass off the cell phone for a while.
Yeah, I might, if it's on a conference or something, I'd like to call in myself just to say hey and be on it. All of us are going to be doing that too. I'm going to have to do an episode of BenRev Radio from there because I'm going to be there through next week or a little bit into the week. So definitely going to have to do one from there. I don't know how I'm going to stream it, but I'll figure that out. That's minor.
Yeah.
I can war drive if I have to. RFA. RFA, I think, might be having something going on. Again, Slipmode's presentation on internet radio is going on Saturday at 9. I hope that's right. I hope I'm not giving out the wrong time for his presentation. Duel told me it was at 9, so I'm hoping that's the case. So verify that at hope.net at the speakers list. So, yeah, that's it. And let's go into one topic anyway before we close the show out. And this was something that ZeroDB emailed me, this article he thought was interesting, and so did I. Again, we'll put the link up in the show notes like we always do, but this is from Reuters News Service, and its title of it is School Teaches Ethical Hacking.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and first of all, this one article is, yeah, we're going to talk about this particular article, I'm going to read some of this to you and the names and stuff, but frankly, they're not the only one that does this, so I don't want to just single out just these one people. But this happens quite a bit, and this is the one that's most recent, so I'm going to kind of go through this a little bit. Let's see, Los Angeles. I'm not going to read all of this. I'll try to capsize the whole thing. I'll try to summarize the whole thing. Excuse me. Sets a scene of an instructor here in front of a class of 15 button-down corporate, academic, and military leaders. The lesson: hacking. The students huddle over laptops at a Los Angeles area college. The students huddle over laptops at a Los Angeles area college have paid nearly $4,000 to attend, quote, Hacker College, a computer boot camp designed to show how people will try to break into network systems and how they will succeed. That was $4,000 they pay for this.
It's change.
$4,000. That is no joke, man. You can listen to the show for free. I just want to throw that out there. You can come by the website and listen to the show absolutely free and learn that same material.
True.
I don't, you know, that's...
But I mean, honestly, in the you said it's 15 days?
Let's see. No, a class of 15 people in this particular... Oh. They're setting a scene of, yeah.
Okay. Depending on how long the class is, technical training is expensive. I mean, even if it's
is.
Not for this... you know, hacking school, whatever, even if you're doing... I did some VxWorks training at some point, and I think that was probably $5,000 for a week.
Yeah, it's absolutely... all of it is expensive, exorbitantly, I think, but in this particular one, it's like...
There.
Yeah, it's like... I don't know, you can't teach hacking. Hacking has to be learned, and I know that sounds contradictory, but you can't teach it. You have to learn it. You have to feel it. You have to be it. There's a difference between... I don't know. And let's see, maybe later on this article it mentions how long or something, but let's see. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing to see how insecure the big corporations are, said Ekamendia, I guess that's the instructor, during a break in the week. Here it is, week-long seminar. It's 1 week.
Okay.
It's just amazing how easy it is. Hackers, oh God, this is... Whew. Hackers are believed to cost global businesses billions of dollars every year. That's billions with a B. Billions of dollars every year, and the costs to defend them are soaring. One study by Good Harbor Consulting showed that security now accounts for as much as 12% of corporate technology budgets, up from 3% 5 years ago. Well, yeah, at $4,000 a pop for these classes, of course the costs are soaring.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
And I have to say one thing here. If they're spending 12%, if they were spending 3% back then, and they're spending 12% now, maybe they're not spending too much now. They were just spending too little then, which is why all these machines get broken into so easily.
Yeah, and they're catching up. Yeah, they may just be catching up for lost time. They should have. Yeah, you know, they went from 3 to 12, but they should be at 20. You know? They're still less than what they should as far as, well... I don't know about the budget anyway, but at least as far as how much emphasis they put on it.
Yeah, when things started with the internet and people putting businesses online, they didn't really think about it. So, like you said, they've got to catch up now, and it's going to be expensive. If you did it right from the start, you wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah, and it's
nobody
not,
gave a crap.
Yeah, and it's not hackers' fault that you did it half-assed.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Especially since hackers don't break into computers and destroy stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, and I've got a great little irony coming up about that too. They're taking advantage of these businesses, gullible businesses, that feed off the stereotype that hackers are going to break into their system. And they perpetuate it by offering these classes. You know, so they're taking advantage of these people that are scared, and they're thinking, oh, well, our budget's only 3%. We got to update it, so let's send our guys to these classes, and let's defend against the evil hackers and blah, blah. You know what? How is that teaching ethical hacking? There's no ethics in that. Taking advantage of a company and its ignorance?
Yeah,
I don't think that's very ethical. You know, to me anyway. So I don't know if ethical hacking. What I don't like that. You know what I don't like about this? I would probably be much better about it if it were called, you know, security, hardening your system, something like that. Calling it ethical hacking, that's what I don't really particularly care about, because I still say you can't teach hacking. Hacking has to be learned on your own, because you have to go through the steps. Somebody gives you. It's like the old, what is the thing about give a man a fish and he eats for a day? Teach a man to fish and he eats forever. You know, it's the same thing.
Hacking is something you have to look and do your own research and stuff like that. You got to search it out. You can't have it given to you.
Yeah, I mean, if you give and what that's what's going to happen is you give it to somebody, and then 6 months from then, they're going to be SOL because they're going to be lost because they can't have that thought process.
Yeah.
Let's see. This
won't be lost. There'll just be another $4,000 course to catch them up.
Yeah, I know, and they'll just keep perpetuating, and then talk about how costs have gone up from 12% to 18%. And then from 18 to 27%, and all of it, whose fault is it? The hackers? Wait a minute. No, it's you. You're selling fear. This is something that Duhl used to always say all the time. They're selling fear at $4,000 per person per week. Ugh. Anyway, let's see. This it goes on to say, quote, "This is definitely bleeding edge. So bleeding edge, in fact, sometimes that it is frightening." Said a student in the class at Mount Sierra College who owns a small computer consulting company. The course, you've taken these training, and so have I, the technical training, and you know how they go sometimes, how silly some of the courses. You can get good stuff if you put your mind to it, but
The
course prepares students for an exam offered by the International Council of E-Commerce Consultants, or EC Council. If they pass that test, they get the ultimate seal of approval, certified ethical hacker.
Oh God!
I really, you know what? I'm really going to look into this. I want to see what this is about and see. I would love to have a framed thing in my room that says certified ethical hacker, and I'll keep right on doing the show and putting out the website. And anytime somebody tries to call me, I can say, "Hey, certified ethical hacker, biatch! Don't give me any crap. I'm certified."
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, what happens if we all get that? All of a sudden, everybody's a certified ethical hacker. Does it carry any, you know, what's the... Nah, anyway. The class is by no means easy. Instructors race through topics like symmetric versus asymmetric key cryptography. Symmetric is faster. War dialing. Hackers will always call late at night. Yeah, right. And well-known TCP ports and services. Be wary of any activity on port zero. I can definitely say it's not for everyone, says blah, 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 Director of Network Security Services for the California State University's 23 campus system. If you don't have discipline, you won't make it through this course. Well, that's true of anything. Let's see. But the work is practical, too. Now, here, this is funny. But the work is practical, too. On the first day, students were taught basic, free, and legal research methods. Something that we always say, that we just basic legal things. Mostly involving search engines and securities databases, so they could learn as much information as possible about companies, their executives, and systems. With relatively little effort, they found out that the chief executive of one public company maintained his own website dedicated to guitars, while another public company still uses a number of systems known to be easily exploited by hackers. Yeah, there's a word for that. It's called footprinting. Binary Revolution Magazine, issue 1.1, $5, available online. and you still have $3,995 left that you can spend on lap dances or whatever floats your boat.
Whoa, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, right? Dude, that, you know, if I write it in an article in a magazine, I'm the evil hacker. But if I charge $4,000 to a bunch of schmucks from some corporation, then you're an ethical hacker. I don't... What am I missing here?
I don't know.
What am I missing in that logic? Seriously. By writing an article and keeping it underground or keeping it within the hacking community, it's a bad thing. I mean, it's so hypocritical what the way these people... Ugh. Very, very hypocritical. Let's see.
Right, that's why they're not about full disclosure, because they want to charge you for disclosure.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They don't... Yeah. Make this course available online where I can get a certified ethical hacking certificate. Maybe we should make our own. Yeah, like I have time for another project. But
yeah,
you know what, seriously...
Say, it sounds like a great idea, but yeah. You know what? It's just not going to happen anytime soon.
But wouldn't that be great? What if the hacking community offered a hacking certificate of some sort?
Yeah,
that would be more... That would carry more weight to me.
Yeah, once you finish one of the war games or something, you could just get a free certificate or something.
Yeah, a good war game, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know, something that covers a lot of stuff. And free. You know, or maybe the cost of printing off a certificate or a frame or whatever.
Well, they send you a PDF of the certificate.
Yeah, and you do what you want with it. Great. Anyway. Let's see. Intense School, the Florida-based company that runs the hacking boot camp, started off in 1997 with a $35,000 investment teaching Microsoft and Cisco software to systems engineers. After the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, again, this goes back to what I said, selling fear. After September 11, 2001 terror attacks, the company expanded its focus to information security courses. It now offers about 200 classes a year, generating about $15 million in annual revenue.
Wow.
$15 million per year, annual revenue. Are they really that afraid of hackers? Now.
Not hackers, it's terrorists that they're afraid of.
Yeah, and they're selling fear of A to combat against B. You know, hackers are not terrorists. That's the thing that they align us together.
I don't get the connection between September 11th and information security. I mean, what?
I really don't. Other than allegations that the terrorists use the internet to communicate or something. But guess what? That doesn't mean they're hackers on the internet. That doesn't mean they're related to hacking. That means they had AIM like every other AO loser out there.
Yeah, come on now.
I mean, seriously, that doesn't make... There's no relationship whatsoever between those two terms. But, again, I'm not going to get on that soapbox. But, here's the real irony here is... One of the biggest things that I think everybody in the security industry knows, and every hacker knows, that is a proven fact. Statistics show that most break-ins and illegal activity and file theft and damage to systems occur from someone on the inside. Disgruntled employees, people that don't, you know, that are inside and that are going to use their access and abuse to sell. Like, there was an... I probably should have brought this on the show notes, but I'm going to wing it here. There was an article that just happened this week from AOL. Do you remember? Do you know what I'm talking about? Somebody from AOL that worked in AOL sold the entire AOL database of emails.
Oh, no, I didn't hear about
that. The entire database. He sold it to some spammer. He got busted, got caught for it, but somebody on the inside of AOL sold the whole database to a spammer. First of all, like, everybody in AOL's already spammed to death anyway, from AOL, ironically, and everyone else. But yeah, sold it. Someone on the inside. It wasn't hackers. No hacker infiltrated and stole that database. No hacker went in and threatened or did... Somebody on the inside, just like most occurrences, most break-ins, they occur from people on the inside that are thieves. Not a hacker, a thief. He stole that file. He didn't hack. He's not a hacker. He's not a terrorist, frankly, either. He's a thief. And, I mean, it's a very clear delineation. There's no relationship between those either. But, again, that's the statistics show that most of this stuff does happen from the inside. Thieves who are trying to use their access to make money. Disgruntled employees, stuff like that. Do they teach that in these classes? Do you think they make a point of that? Because, if so, it comes across to me as just horrible irony that they're teaching people how to hack that are employees on the inside. So they're actually making them better and easier to steal files and get them out.
Yeah, exactly.
Under the guise of keeping hackers... No, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? That's back-ass words.
Yeah, everything's wrong with that picture. Now, you're never going to stop the people from the inside from...
They're training them!
You know?
Aren't they? Am I... I'm not exaggerating, am I? They're training these people, giving them skills to make them better if they wanted to steal something or cause damage from the inside. They're teaching them.
Yeah, definitely.
So why should they be, what is it, certified ethical, and us real hackers out in the world are automatically the bad guy, unethical, dirty thief, hacker, terrorist, whatever? We're no different. If anything, we're better.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sound to me like this course really teaches ethics. They just assume that you're ethical because you're spending money.
Exactly, you know.
You know, some company says, oh yeah, go learn this, so now you're ethical. But
that's an excellent point. You're buying, you can't buy ethics.
But you can for $4,000.
Well, apparently you can, but you can't. That's an, wow. You made me think. That's an excellent point. You just can't buy ethics, but apparently you can lease it for however long this certificate. I wonder if you have to renew the certification and stuff. Anyway, I really might have to look into this. So, let's see. I'll finish this up here. What we attempt to do in our classes is teach how the hackers think. Well, again, until you go through it, hackers, the way you think is you hit that wall, you figure out how to get through that wall, around that wall, under that wall, or break through that wall, and you have to go through that process yourself. If somebody hands you a map to dig under the wall or a map to how to go around the wall or something like that, eventually they're going to fix that, and that map is worthless. But if you hammer against that wall and understand how the wall was built and where the vulnerabilities lie and how to adapt, etc., and that's a trait that most hackers have is adaptability. That's what makes us hackers. That's what makes us better than these corporate white hat ethical hackers or whatever they are. So trying to teach how hackers think, I don't know if that's really possible, quite honestly. It says Dave Kaufman, president of Intent School. The only way to keep hackers out of major corporate systems, he said, is to know how they will be attacked in the first place. Cal State Sukiang said that in his case, the problem is that the users of his system know how to attack all too well. We teach students how to hack and how to code, and here are students applying what they've learned against us, he said. If you taught them and you can't secure your own system, well, I won't even go there. Anyway, that's the article. And again, I don't want to single out this company or the particular companies listed here because there are quite a few that are selling this similar certifications and security and stuff like that. I guess if they label it security, I'd be a little bit more comfortable. I still think it's kind of silly, but labeling it certified ethical hacking, that it's just not true. They're not teaching them ethics, like you said, and you can't buy
garbage.
Ethics. So... and again, I said earlier about teach a man to fish and he'll eat forever. It's like you give basically what they're selling. You're going to teach them current hacking techniques. You're going to teach them things that are going on right now. Teaching them about the latest denial of service or the latest internet bug, and tell them how to turn off the port that it's using, and that'll solve the problem. Congratulations, here's your certificate. That's you're selling a false sense of security in the form of some kind of certification. I mean, that's. What are you going to do 10 years from now when everything has changed, or 5 years, or even 6 months from now? Again, if you have those hacking skills and the mindset of going through it, you know, it'll be more effective than just learning the rope, you know, learning the directions, following directions. It's like any other skill that you have, you know? I mean, am I off? Am I way off base here? Or?
No. I'm just thrown off by this whole thing. It's just a scam to make a whole lot of money, and I don't know.
And it is at our expense, isn't it? Our expense as hackers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, just in the marketing alone, I don't know what they say about hackers in the class, but the marketing alone is like, oh, my God, these people are going to break in and steal all your stuff. No.
We might break in and find pictures of you and your girlfriend getting it on and, you know, put it on our website, but... Maybe
no
not. Nah. Yeah, this is I don't know if this is way out there, man. I don't know what to think about this. Generally, I'm all for education. I really, you know, I would be perfectly fine if, you know, these were listed as security things and people are learning. It's all good that they're learning how to protect their networks and everything. That part's fine. They have every right to do that and they should do that. But the prices that they're charging, that just seems really unreasonable. And yes, I understand other technical classes and boot camps and stuff like that are also expensive. Frankly, those as well, especially hacking, but any of those things, you can teach yourself this stuff. I mean, that's what hackers do, too. We sit down and we go to the websites and read up on it. We read the manuals. That's why we're all into open source, because all that information is given to you. You can learn it on your own. No proprietary stuff.
I have to say that some technical training actually is very good. Like, they've laid out lessons and stuff like that to teach you, like, techniques to do things. But some technical training is garbage. You know, it's just basically they go through the manual and that's it. And that stuff's unnecessary. Yeah. But wait, didn't you say these guys give you a laptop or something?
It just said that they sit in front of laptops at the beginning.
Because I saw one of these things once. I saw an advertisement. Maybe it was at DEF CON last year when I went, some flyer that was passed out or something. And basically, I think it was $4,000 or $5,000. You know, it's this hacker training course like this one, but they give you a laptop at the end of it. I imagine the laptop is a piece of garbage because they're not going to give you like a $3,500 laptop or $500 on the training. But
they'll add it to the price of the training.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know what else it could be? Selling laptops under the guise of a training thing.
Yeah.
The goal is simply to sell the laptop. The rest of the stuff is bogus. I've seen that happen before. I've seen that many times.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think there's nothing wrong with education, as you said. But
right.
As under the guise of, you know, we're going to make you an ethical hacker and you're going to be able to protect your, you know, your environment, it's just not going to happen in a week.
No.
It's just no way.
No.
You know, any technical training that I've gone to that was a week long, teach you the basics, and then you have to really go and keep learning for yourself. Otherwise, it's going to be completely useless.
Yeah, a week after you get back, a new exploit comes out, or a new style of attack, or a new something comes out. Your school is over with, so they're not going to teach it to you.
Yeah.
So the only way that you're going to learn it or find out is by keeping up with the scene, teaching yourself, learning about how it works and how to defend against it anyway. Well, guess what? You could have done that without the $4,000 class in the first place.
Yeah.
You're going to have to do it after the class if you want to maintain your skills, so just do it yourself. Just learn.
Yeah.
Take the initiative.
These people have to realize that learning is a process. It's not a one-time action. You know, you don't just do it once and then that's it. Okay, I learned it.
Right.
You know.
No, there's a difference between learning and memorizing.
Yeah.
Huge difference. If you don't learn it, you memorize it, it's gone. So, you memorize directions, but when your person moves, when somebody moves, you're never going to find them again. Anyway, I just wish they didn't, you know, A, charge so much, and B, all this is available for free on the internet. I said jokingly earlier, but I wrote a very in-depth article on footprinting. And you can buy the magazine for $5. And I'm not saying that to pimp the magazine. People listening to the show know that we sell a magazine. That's not it. I'm telling you that this information is here. And I'm not the only one that's ever written information like this. Tons of stuff out there on the web about footprinting. I'm certain of it. There's got to be. And not only that, that's one article in this whole magazine. And then you have 2600 magazine and just all the e-zines online and the websites. Just put the time in there and go out there and learn it yourself. And doing it that way, you will learn what real, true ethical hacking is. Can't buy it on a freaking certificate from some... All right. Anyway, let me hop off of that soapbox. I controlled myself fairly well. I did all right on that one.
Not bad.
All right, man. Anything else you want to add before we...
Oh, man.
Before we go into shouts, or do you want to go out? You go ahead with the shouts.
Yeah, I'm going to give shouts to...
Wait a minute. Did you mention DEF CON before you go on? Did you want to mention something about DEF CON? Or did you earlier?
No, I thought I had some news about DEF CON, but I'm going to hold off on that. I'll announce whatever I've got to announce, I guess, closer to DEF CON.
Okay.
I don't know.
Which is at the middle? No, the end of July?
Yeah, it's the end of July. I think it's July 30th, 31st. July have 31 days?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. July 30th, 31st, and August 1st, DEF CON.
Okay.
at the Alexis Park Hotel in Las Vegas. I had something planned for that, but I'm not going to announce it just yet. So.
All right. We'll keep everyone informed when you're ready to go through with that.
Yeah.
Shout outs.
Sergeant Switchhook. Duel. Man, let me think. Who else? Doug. And, you know what? I think that's it.
Is that it?
I'm too lazy to keep going. I'm just shot, man.
Yeah, I know. It's a late night. I'm going to wrap it up myself and go to my new job tomorrow. That's going to be very interesting. Hopefully they're better people than my old job. Anyway, the people at my old job would never listen to the show anyway. They don't have the motivation or the desire for knowledge. But anyway, my shout-outs, actually I got quite a few because I've been off for a couple of years, and so people have been doing a lot of cool things to help me out. First of all, I'm going to give a shout-out to White Sword. I gave shout-outs before about White Sword TV, and he's actually come out with episode 2, which was also very cool. So sincere shout-outs to him. It really is a good show. I'm not saying that in a sarcastic way or joking. Really is pretty cool. It kept me interested, and I watched the whole thing, and I mean that. So shouts to him. Shouts to DJ Mollusk, DJ Sub-Zero, 813 Error, again, I mentioned earlier. They've been doing a lot of great things, helping me out with the site, show notes, some other stuff. The CD of the radio show, Sub-Zero, did most of the work on that, if not all of the work on that. So that helps me tremendously. That's just one less thing. You know, you heard all the stuff earlier that I'm working on, trying to get done, and, you know, that helps tremendously that people help out and do stuff like that. Some things I have to do myself, but, you know, other people can help out with these things, and that really, really goes very far with me, and I truly appreciate it. So definitely shouts out to them. And we're going to close out this week from another track from Beatallica, which is a play on words. It's the Beatles and Metallica joined together. So a pretty cool rock band. It's got the Metallica feel to it. And this song is called I Want to Choke Your Band. I don't think we've closed with this before. If we have, sorry, you're going to hear it again. And I guess that is it. So, not theory. Thank you, my friend, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me back.
And, yeah, we want to get you on as often as possible. You always have great content and great stuff to talk about, and you keep me reined in and corrected when I make mistakes. So,
reminds me of one last thing.
Shoot, go
the
for
Bell's
it.
Mind updates. Go to forums.binrev.com, Freaks and Geeks Forum. There's a couple of threads about Bell's Mind. There's going to be stuff coming up before Hope, so check it out. Keep yourself posted.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, you mentioned about, you know, making it open source, making the source available and all, but the latest, most up-to-date version will always be up and running at bellsmind.net.
Yeah.
Right? So anytime changes or additions or updates or whatever, they're always going to go there. So get in the habit of going there for your information. So,
yep,
that is going to do it. And, yeah, I know your job situation. It's totally cool. I've been there. I know how it is. So, man, anytime you want to be on the show, we'll work it out. We'll work around each other's schedule. So definitely, definitely cool. We'll have you on as often as we can. So,
sounds good.
That's going to be it. Now, I know it's been a while, but you do remember how we closed the show out, right?
Oh, man, I completely forgot. Oh, no.
Well, it's not everything is all. It doesn't begin with everything's always.
It's
the other catchphrase. And that is that we will see everybody next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.